What a privilege. What a privilege to worship you, God. Lord, this breath that you give us belongs to you. We honor you. We worship you. Now, would you continue to move and minister through the rest of this service tonight? Lord, we're here because we're hungry for you. We're here because we want to lift you up. We're here because we know that you are the source and the answer. We thank you for loving us like you do. Lord, what a privilege to worship your great and glorious name. Lord, I thank you that you're here among us. Lord, we just humble ourselves before you tonight. And we ask that you would just speak to our hearts. God, do incredible things in our midst tonight. I praise you and I worship you because you do amazing things. Things that others can't always see, and other things are clear. So God, we just give you the praise. I know you're working. I praise you for it. We give you all the praise tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. We're just going to jump right in with both feet, right? Anybody ready for that? Well, I just appreciate you worshiping the Lord with us here this evening. What a beautiful day, right? Yes. Praise God. Well, thank you, worship team. Now, just so you don't misunderstand, we're not really done worshiping the Lord yet. Okay? We're going to probably have some time to worship him at the end of the service. So we're just excited to do that. And so on that note, I'm going to invite my friend Terry Carter. He's an evangelist with the Assemblies of God, and we just want to let's give him a big Warsaw welcome, and bless you, brother.
Well, praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to be here tonight. Praise
yes.
God. Hi, Johnny. How you doing, buddy? Good to see you again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It is just my delightful joy to be with you this evening and tomorrow here at Warsaw Assembly. Praise God. It is my honor to serve. And I want to thank Pastor Banfield for inviting me to come. And it's good to be back with you.
We don't say that.
We don't say that?
We don't say Pastor Banfield.
We don't say Pastor, what was it?
Chad.
Pastor Chad, okay. Well, I was going to say that, but you know. I was going to say that. I really was, but I thought, nah, let's be a little bit more formal. I was thinking back the last time I was here. It was during the 2020 pandemic. And I was scheduled for revival services here during that time. Can you give me just a little bit more volume on this, please? Just a little bit more. I can't even hear myself up here. There you go. That sounds, yeah, that's perfect. And but, you know, because of the pandemic, you know, he did allow me to come. And I preached to nobody. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
And I got my best results that day. And no, I'm just joking. And we were live, we were online, and many of you were watching. And so that was a very strange year. You know, and in my line of work, if I don't travel, if I don't preach, I don't get paid. And so, you know, so it was, I was honored to serve then, honored to serve now. Amen. And to give you a little bit of history of who I am, then I want to lay some groundwork for revival. And then get into my message. After 28 years of pastoral ministries, the Lord led me into full-time evangelism. And I was at district council. Actually, just in just a few more short months, I've been doing this full-time for 10 years. Can you imagine that? 10 years now, full-time. And now note the word full-time. There are many people who do this part-time, but there's very few of us that still do this full-time. Now, back in the day when my father-in-law was a full-time evangelist, back in the 60s and 70s and early 80s, there were over 3,000 full-time evangelists. But currently today, there are less than 100. And so I'm one of those. And so
We're trying to get it back. We're trying to raise it up again. So there's meetings going on and there's summits going on, trying to revitalize the office of the evangelist in revival. But it was almost 10 years ago that I was at district council, and the Lord was laying it on my heart, and I was praying about it. And so it was just really a challenge that the Holy Spirit just put in my life to do this full time. So I said, yes, Lord, I will do this, you know, but give me a vision, give me a theme on how to do this and what to do this with. And he laid in my heart the vision and the theme, bringing revival back. You know, how many of you realize that America needs revival? I mean, America is getting worse and worse all the time. And so we've been very successful with that. And along with that, let me encourage you to get some information on the back there. I don't sell T-shirts and things like that anymore, but I have information cards. Let me encourage you to get one of these cards here, this gives you a history of who I am, along with the theme and the vision on the back, and it tells you who I am, what I've been doing for the past 3.5 decades. And along with that, this is a prayer card as well, with the theme and vision on the back. Take this. Put it in your Bible, put it in your kitchen, refrigerator, car, wherever you want to go, and pray for me as I travel, because the road does get long. I love what I do, but the road does get long sometimes, and pray that God will just open up many, many doors for the rest of this year and for years to come, that I can stay full-time, because I absolutely love what I do. I really, really do. And I love being a full-time evangelist. There's no doubt in my mind that God has called me to do this full-time. And so take these, pray for me, and I would really, really appreciate that. And also pray for the vision and the theme, bringing revival back, because I really believe that we're on the brink of something big happening in America. I believe that America needs revival desperately. We're sinking, but yet there's a lot of good things happening, too, on the other side of the coin. And I want to think positive rather than negative. I want to see the glass half full rather than half empty. And so let's just pray. Let's believe for God to do great things in America. Can you say amen? But in order for that to happen, it should begin at home. Amen. That's why I'm here, to encourage you, to energize you, to revitalize you, so you can go out and do the highways and byways and therefore share this energy and share this excitement with many that you come in contact with. I just concluded a revival in Elsinore, Missouri with Pastor Scott Reynolds. We had a powerful, powerful move of God there. We were discussing, and I even put this on Facebook, that we lost count on how many got saved and were baptized in the Holy Ghost in that revival. We actually lost count. It was just powerful. And then here's the way God ended that revival. It was on Wednesday night. Services were over, and we're out in the foyer. We're visiting, and this lady walks up to me, and she says, "Look, Brother Carter, I'm healed. I'm healed." And so they began to share with me what was wrong with her. And 5 years ago, she was stricken by a spinal injury that left her left side completely paralyzed. She couldn't walk at all. And so God healed her, and she was able to walk for the first time unassisted in 5 years at that revival. And yeah, go ahead and give God praise. And she's been staying in contact with me, and she's still healed as well. Praise God. And so we just give God all the praise for that. And so, but God is doing some great things. And in the past almost 10 years, I've been full-time on the road, we have seen over 5,000 people baptized in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God is doing great things. You see, folks, I still believe in the endowment of power. I still believe in the Acts 2:4 experience. I really, really do. And I believe that we need that now more than ever before. Praise God. And I want to just thank you for getting in and being supportive of this revival. And now let me lay some groundwork for this, because what God's going to do in this revival is this. Each service is going to be really good. I think I got to change something.
Keep going.
Yeah. It's all right.
But we're
going to
change.
Each service is going to build. Each service is going to build. And each service is going to get just a little bit better each time. Amen. Let me encourage you to come. Don't miss any of these services, because Sunday morning is going to be good. Sunday night is going to be good as well. So don't miss any of the service, because God is going to do great things in every service. Call someone to come.
Test 1, 2. Oh, that sounds a lot better. Yay. You can turn me down just a tad, but not much. I like that. This is really, really good. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2. Right there. Leave her there, brother. Don't budge it. We're in good. I like that. Praise God. All right. I was actually having a gender situation with that one, because it said Lindsay on there. So now I know that I am a guy here. Mike. Come on, somebody. You'll get that joke later. Praise God. All right. Open your Bibles tonight, if you will, please, to Psalm 113, verse 3. Psalm 113, verse 3. I want you to know that I am excited. I'm excited what God's going to do in this revival. I'm excited what God's going to do in your life. Come expecting, come believing, and come ready for a great touch. For you see, my friends, the best part of this revival is what God will do during the altar call. So during the altar call, let me encourage you to say, don't say, well, the preaching's over, we can leave now. No, stick around at the altar call and seek God at these altars for what he will do in your life. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Open your Bibles. I'm going to begin with Psalm 113, verse 3. I've entitled my message tonight, The Power of Crazy Praise. Amen. The Power of Crazy Praise. Amen. And I'll be reading from the King James Version. But before I get into that, let me say this, that I'm a research guy. And throughout my sermons, you will hear me say different things about how I've researched this or researched that in correlation and with what I'm going to be preaching. And in regards to this, I was researching God's Word in relation to the theme of praise. And much to my amazement in the Word of God, I found that in regards to praise, that there are over 8,600 verses of Scripture, over 8,600 that leads to praise or examples of praise in the Bible, over 8,600. Now, that should tell you something right there about how we should praise the Lord. Amen? So, but out of all of those verses of Scripture and examples of praise, I've chosen two as my main text. And the first one is Psalm 113, verse 3. And it says, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Now Psalm 34, verse 1. Psalm 34, verse 1, and it says this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually, everybody say continually, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Amen. Now, I want you to know something at the very onset of this message, and I want you to hear this, that Jesus is worthy of all praise. We could praise Him right now, 24/7, until the rapture of the church, and still be way behind on our praise because of who He is. And one day, my friends, one day when the rapture of the church takes place and we're out of this world, and I truly believe that, not because the AG says so, but because this is from my own personal research, that the next event to take place will be the rapture of the church. At any given moment, we're going to be raptured out of this world. We're going to be carried away to meet the Lord in the air. And when that time occurs, when we're actually on streets of gold, when we actually see Him face to face, then we will know in full just how great and how powerful Jesus really is. Then we will know for sure at that moment that the sacrifice that He did on the cross of Calvary. Hey, we don't have to wait till Easter to praise Him. Come on, somebody. He's the risen Lord all year round. Amen. And so now we see, when we get into this praise aspect now, once we see Him, we will know at that point just how powerful and majestic Christ really is. Amen. Now, the Word of God says in Psalm 22, verse 3, that God inhabits the praises of His people. Amen. That God inhabits the praises of His people. Now, again, when you get into this, when you think of the original meanings of those words, inhabits means to live or dwell in or to occupy. To live in, to dwell in, or to occupy. Amen. Now, Janice and I, my wife is unable to be here because she's in Florida. She is in executive meetings with her job duties. But I remember so well, you see, Janice and I, we've experienced that. We've had empty nest now for about 12 years. Empty nest for 12 years. And I remember so clearly when our youngest son was moving out. I mean, Janice is over in one part of the house and she's crying, "Oh, my baby. My baby's moving out. My baby's leaving. My baby." And I'm in the other side of the house going, "Oh, happy day. When Josh moves out." No, even. But and I want to say this, that we have a very close family. Janice and I talk about this all the time, that if we haven't done anything else right, we have raised two amazing men that love God with all their heart. They've never given us any trouble at all with alcohol, cigarettes, drugs, anything at all. They were always on time with curfew. They were always good boys, always good teenagers, and have always been good men. And they're also raising a wonderful, godly family. I'm so thankful to say that even our oldest, she just turned 10, granddaughter, and the other one's 8 years old, and then, 4 years old and 6 months old, that they're teaching these kids to love God. Hallelujah. Young Carson, little Carson, he's our only grandson. And I mean, Carson and I, man, we are buddies. We have such a strong bond. Carson and I, he's my buddy. He's my pal. He's always just all over me. He just jumps in my lap, and he's just always laughing and wanting me to tickle him. He's just a blast. I love Carson. Is my buddy. I went out and bought him a shotgun. Come on, somebody. Amen. Getting him ready for turkey season. Praise God. Amen. And so, not a 410, a 12-gauge. Come on, y'all. Praise God. But here's the thing. When our kids call us and say, "Hey, we're going to come home for a visit," man, Janice and I, we roll out the red carpet. Man, we go to the store. We buy all their favorite foods. We go in through the closets and under the beds and in the drawers. We pull out all the favorite toys, and under the couch we pull out all the books, and we have toys and stuff hidden all over the house. We pull it all out and get things all ready, because when they get there, we want them to occupy. We want them to dwell there. Amen. We want them to feel comfortable there, praise God. And when they pull in our driveway, it's not like, "Oh, I wish I wasn't here." I mean, they jump out of their automobiles. They run to our arm. We hug each other. We embrace each other. Man, we have a blast. Glory to God. And it's so fun, because we always talk about the Bible. We're always talking about God. We're doing card games. We're doing board games. We have a blast. I tell you what, and our youngest son, Josh, he is an absolute blast to be with. He will have you roll it in the floor and laughter. He is a blast. Amen. And then there's Amanda. She's just a mental genius. I mean, she's memorized 13 books of the Bible. Not verses, but books. 13 books of the Bible. And her sister has memorized 15 books of the Bible. You know, I'm bragging on them just a little bit. It all started in junior Bible quiz. How many have heard of junior Bible quiz? It started in junior Bible quiz, and then they just kept competing against each other, kept going, trying to be better, trying to be better, trying to be better. Then they memorized so much, and listen, you've got to be really, really versed, and you got to know your stuff in Bible quiz to be a winner. And it's kind of funny, because when Josh does his devotions, if he pauses for a minute, Amanda, she's so quick thinking. She's just so quick that if he pauses for a minute, she'll just quote the rest of the chapter. Come on, somebody. She really will. And so what am I saying? I'm saying this. It's time to occupy God's house with some crazy praise. Everybody say crazy praise. It's time to give God some crazy praise. I'm not talking about just some ho-hum dead praise. How well I remember as a pastor. Now, remember, I was in pastoral ministry for 28 years. I know what I'm talking about. You know, you give this opportunity for people to stand up and testify. It's called a testimony service. And you're waiting for that first one to stand up. You know, you're waiting. Da, 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 da. You're waiting for the first one to stand up. Finally, somebody will stand up. But there's always one that'll say, "Well, now, y'all just pray for me that I can just hang on till the very end. And in my mind, I'm thinking, really? That's all you got? Come on. That's all you've got? I mean, Jesus died for you. He rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Come on, somebody. We should stand up and give God some radical, some crazy, insane praise. Can you say amen? Come on, somebody. Praise God. Listen, praise and worship, this brings us into the presence of God. When the worship team is singing, this is not a time to just kill 15 or 20 or 30 minutes. That's what it's for. This is a time to lead us into the presence of God and to invite His presence. Of course, when you walk in the building, He's already here, but we're welcoming Him. We're encouraging Him to move and to touch our hearts and to touch our lives. This is not a time to just kill time. It's a time to worship Him. Come on, church. Praise and worship ushers in the presence of God. And remember this, when you pray, you can only talk to God about things that you know about. But when you praise and worship God, God can move in and fix things that you don't even know about. I want that to sink in. When you pray, you can only talk to God about what you know about. But when you praise, God can move in and fix things that you don't even know about. Amen. Hallelujah. The preaching of God's word is for us, but worship and praise is for Him. Amen. Don't worship Pastor Chad. Don't worship Evangelist Terry Carter. Don't worship the Assemblies of God. Worship God. Don't worship a TV evangelist. Somebody need to hear that. Don't worship somebody on there that's trying to drain your checkbook. Come on, somebody. Amen. But worship God. God's true people should be people of praise. Hallelujah. Now, I told you earlier that I'm a research guy. And when you think of the word praise and worship, when you look at the word, the Hebrew word hallelujah, the Hebrew word for hallelujah is hallel, H-A-L-E-L, H-A-L-E-L, hallel, meaning to shine, to flash forth, to be insane with our praise. Come on now. You want to get scriptural about praise? Then let's get scriptural. Look at the Hebrew word of hallelujah. It means to be insane with our praise. There you go. You're getting warmed up now. Amen. So what am I saying? Go back to what my text said here now, that we should praise Him from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Which means there's no time for grumbling and complaining and backbiting and dissension. Woo, somebody needed to hear that. Come on, y'all. My amens are getting weak now. Come on, church. Amen. Hey, I know what I'm talking about. I was a pastor for 28 years. I know what I'm talking about. Let's get our eyes and our minds on Christ. For He is the one that's worthy of all praise. He's the one that's worthy of all glory. Hallelujah. And it's time to occupy His house with some radical, with some crazy praise, with some insane praise, because He is worthy. And there's always one that'll say, well, Brother Carter, that's just not my way. That's just not my way of praising God. That's just not my. Let me say, first of all, there's no such thing as your way. And there's only God's way. And God's way is in spirit and in truth. Amen. In spirit and in truth. Amen. And so we need to get our minds fixed on some praising God for who He really is and what He's done for our lives. And praise Him. Praise Him that you were able to get out of bed this morning. Praise Him that you were able to take your next breath of air. Come on, somebody. Glory to God. I was reading an article just the other day about this 93-year-old man who had COVID. He was in the hospital and he was almost dead. And they hooked him up to the ventilator machine to keep him alive. When it was all over, he gets a bill for being able to breathe. You know, he's not able to breathe on his own, so they helped him breathe. He gets a bill for being able to breathe. He begins to cry. And they said, why are you crying? Are you crying because of the bill from the hospital? No, I'm not worried. I'll take care of that. I'm crying because for 93 years, God never sent me a bill for breathing. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. So I'm telling you, we should desire to praise Him as much as we desire our next breath of air. I challenge any of y'all to try to go without breathing. You won't go very long. Amen. I mean, the gift of breath. I mean, think about it. Getting out of the bed and walking. You know, being able to go into your kitchen and eat breakfast. Getting outside on this beautiful day. It's going to be even nicer tomorrow. There's no excuse for not coming to church tomorrow. Come on. It's going to be like 68, 70 degrees. It's going to be beautiful tomorrow. So we should get in our hearts, in our minds. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, I got to go to revival. It's Saturday. I'd rather be at home resting in my lazy boy recliner. But no, I get to go to God's house and I get to praise Him again. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible is filled with examples of praise. The divine power of God is released to us through praise. Amen. What happened in the upper room? They weren't up there discussing COVID. They weren't up there talking about Ukraine. They weren't up there talking about administration problems in the White House. But they were up there giving God some radical and some crazy insane praise. And 10 days later, the power of God fell and they were all baptized in the Holy Ghost and power. Come on, somebody. Amen. Life-changing miracles are given to us through praise. Our enemy is defeated through praise. And let me tell you something, friends. The devil is a liar. He's out to rob and to kill and to destroy. And I'm telling you, the one way to break his attacks and to break through those the bondage of always trying to break you down and to discourage you and to defeat you is to just praise the Lord. Amen. It just lift up some crazy, radical, insane praise. He can't handle that. Amen. Because when you praise Him, God's moving in and fixing stuff that you don't even know about. Because there's things going on in the atmosphere. There's things going on in the spiritual realm that if we could see in the spiritual eyes, you know, if we could see it in the natural eyes, it would probably scare us to death. Because, listen, there's things going on that we don't know about, and God's fixing things that we don't even know. He's taking care of us when we don't even realize it. Amen. Come on. I realize this every time I'm out on the road traveling. When I travel. I do thousands of miles every year. But let me tell you something. I know every mile, God's taking care of Terry Carter. Amen. Hallelujah. Hearts are forever changed through praise. Oh, we just saw this again last week, and it can happen here too. When hearts, hungry hearts, come to the altars, and they're praising God and they're glorifying God, how lives can be changed, saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost, filled and healed, and bondages are broken, there's spiritual breakthroughs, and there's financial releases. Come on. Why? Because somebody had the audacity to praise Him. God will not move by your complaining tongue. Come on. God will not move by your dissension and your division and your backbiting. Come on. But what will get God's attention? Your praise. Wait. Now you're praising Him. Okay, now God's going, okay, wait a minute. Somebody's praising me. Who was, okay, there it is. There's some praise coming up to me. These over here are griping and grumbling. I don't have time for that. But not until somebody's praising me. Come on. Hallelujah. Discouragement is destroyed through praise. And I'm giving you personal examples here because I can't begin to tell you how many times that I would get discouraged because revivals aren't coming in, services aren't coming in, the pandemic hit. Rather than having church, everybody's going and getting toilet paper. Come on, somebody. I mean, you can get toilet paper, but you can't come to church. I can't figure that one out. Come on. But anyway, you know, discouragement kicked in, and I'm like, what in the world? But, you know, I said, Lord, I don't understand all this, but I do know this. I'm going to praise You anyway. And the more I praised Him, the more I gave God praise, the more, let me tell you something, even though there was week after week, month after month, I didn't get to preach because of COVID, God still provided. I learned that lesson a long, long time ago. in my first pastoral position in 1985. My wife and I, we're newly married. We've got a newborn baby in the house. I mean, we're just getting started. We didn't have any furniture. We didn't have nothing but a bed. That's all we had, was just a bed. That was it. Just getting started. And I remember so clearly that there was nothing in the house to eat. Nothing. And I'm like, we had infant meal for the baby, but there was nothing for us to eat. And I'm like, baby, I don't know what we're going to do, but there's nothing here to eat. There's nothing here to eat. You know, we were just getting started here, you know, and we're fresh. We're greener than May grass in the ministry. Come on, somebody. I mean, we're just new getting started. And no sooner than I said that, somebody knocked on the door. You see, there wasn't email in those days. Come on. There wasn't no texting going on in that time. But this brother, this deacon came to the parsonage, knocked on the door. He brought along with him a platter about this long, about this wide, and about this deep, and it was just jam-packed full of barbecued ribs. Come on, somebody. Woo! I mean, I picked out on ribs, Johnny. Glory to God. I tried my best to expand my ministry that night. Glory to God. I really did. Thank you, Jesus. But what I'm saying is this. Through all the troubles, through all the trials, good days, bad days, financial blessings, things aren't so good financially, things are good on the job place, things aren't so good on the job place, somebody's really bugging you, but all of a sudden you've got others that are really supporting you, good things are going to happen. Things are going to happen. Whatever you do, don't stop praising Him. It's called a sacrifice of praise. Whether you feel like it or not, praise Him. Hallelujah. God is always there. He's as close as the mention of His name. Can you say amen? He's always there. Now, there are three things that I want to bring out tonight, what the power of crazy praise can do. Number one, the power of crazy praise. Number one is this. Crazy praise gets our focus off of ourselves and back on God. Crazy praise gets the focus off of ourselves and back on God. You see, we're living in a very selfie society. I mean, how many times do you see it? People are going around taking selfies. Selfie, selfie, selfie. We're living in a very selfie society. You know, you can tell, I'm not going to say it very loud, she'll do it right now. You can tell Siri to do a selfie, and I mean, she's ready. She'll do a selfie right away. We're living in a selfie society. You see, selfishness is everywhere. We're prone to selfishness. Amen. And we had an example of this just here a while back. We were in a church holding revival, and I walked into the sanctuary, and they weren't having Sunday school in the sanctuary. So I'm in the sanctuary. Everybody's in the Sunday school class. I'm over on this side of the building. I'm waiting. I'm researching. I'm reading, and I'm preparing, and I'm praying. And then the bell rang, but before the bell rang, the piano player and the worship leader came into the sanctuary. They didn't know I was there. And the first words out of the piano player's mouth was this. She said, "Well, I wonder if the organist is going to be here this morning. Because if he's here, I can't be heard." And I'm thinking, what an attitude walking into the sanctuary that I can't be heard. Friend, let me say this to you. It's not about you. Worship team, it's not about you. Yes, we're instruments being used of God, but it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Amen. And so with the mentality that I can't be heard, I can't be seen, that needs to be thrown out the back door. Come on, church. And we come into the sanctuary with a mindset that I want to praise Him, that I want to love Him, that I want to exalt Him. He's done so much good for me. And let me tell you something. God has blessed me with a wonderful family, a beautiful home. Praise God. And I just love Him for all that He's done for me. But if God doesn't do anything else for me, He saved me from the pits of hell. Come on, somebody. And I can lay my head down at night knowing that I'm okay with God. It is well with my soul. Hallelujah. It is well with my family. Praise God. It's time to get our focus back on God. Look at Psalm 150. I'm going to read the whole chapter. It won't take long. Watch this. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. praise him in the firmament of his power, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness, praise him with the sound of the trumpet, praise him with the psaltery and the harp, praise him with the timbrel and dance, praise him with the stringed instruments and organs, praise him upon the loud cymbals, praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Now watch this. 12 times the author of this text is referencing praise to God. 12 times. Not one time did he say anything about you. But praise goes up to God. Why? Because Jesus saves. Jesus heals. Jesus is the Holy Ghost baptizer. He's our soon coming King. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's Alpha and Omega. He's the first and the last. He's our Most High Messiah. He's our soon coming King. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's the bright morning star. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the Lily of the Valley. It's all about Jesus. Hey, man, it's all about Jesus. Come on, give God some crazy praise. Amen. Give God some crazy praise. I'm talking about some insane praise. Now listen to me, folks. Praise is not based upon how you feel. But praise is based upon God's greatness. Listen now. And that never changes. Praise is based on God's greatness. And that never changes. Amen. Whether you feel like it or not, God is great. And greatly to be praised. Oftentimes we say that God is good. And he is all the time. He is good. But let me tell you something. Job 36:26 says this. That God is great. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, folks, it's time to get excited about God. You know, listen, I love sports as much as anybody else. I like sports. I do. I love sports. Amen. And go Chiefs. Come on, somebody. I like sports. But one day I was watching a preseason game, and the cameraman was, you know, taking shots at different people in the stadium, and he focused on this one guy. I mean, he had his hair dyed red, you know, he had makeup on. He's trying to look like an Indian, you know, and he was just going crazy. He had on, you know, Mahomes jersey and all that kind of stuff. And he was leaning over. He was bam, bam, bam. He's hitting the wall. Yeah, he's going crazy, you know. And I'm thinking, dude, chill out. It's only preseason. Come on. It's only preseason. Chill, you know. But I paused it. And I said, Janice, come watch this. And I rewound it a little bit. I said, watch this guy. I said, now, if we acted like that in church, they'd think it was crazy. But, no, wait a minute, watch this. If you get into the literal meanings of hallelujah and praise, come on now, God wants us to be insane with our praise and radical, crazy praise. Well, and you look at in Acts chapter 2, when they were in the upper room, they were praising God so radically that the other ones at the Feast of Weeks, at the day of Pentecost, they thought they were drunk. But they were drunk on the new wine, the wine of God instead of the wine of man. Hallelujah. They were giving God some radical. I mean, can you imagine the kind of praise that was going on up there when they were all baptized and that sound from heaven, whoosh, the sound filled the entire room and tongues of fire came and rested upon each of them and they were all baptized in the Holy Ghost and with fire. Radical, crazy praise. Come on, somebody. And the whole city, amen, they turned their whole world upside down because somebody praised him. Come on now. Listen to me. Excitement begets excitement. Let's go back and talk about football just for a moment again. Listen, I can remember when the Chiefs won their first Super Bowl. That's how far back I go. I can remember the first Super Bowl. The stadium wasn't nowhere near full, and the cost for the seats at the first Super was $12. $12. Now you try to go to a Super Bowl today. Try to go to a Super Bowl in 2022 or whenever the next one is. I think it's 2023. It'll be thousands and thousands of dollars, even in the nosebleed section. What am I saying? over the years, as football progressed, somebody got a little bit more excited, Stadiums began to get filled up. Somebody started coming. Somebody talked about this guy or about that guy, not only in that city, but in other cities. And excitement begets excitement over football. What am I saying? The same thing can happen in church. Amen. Don't focus on the negative. Rebuke the negative and accentuate the positive. Rebuke the negative and accentuate the positive. Don't look at the glass half empty. Look at it half full. Leave this service and say, look, man, and you should have the attitude, pray, I have the best church in Warsaw. Come on. Now, some of y'all ain't clapping, but come on. I got the best church in Warsaw. I've got the best pastor in Warsaw. I love my pastor. I love my church family. Glory to God. Amen. That's the attitude that you should have. Excitement begets excitement. You can pay me later, brother. Glory to God. Excitement begets excitement. Come on now. What am I saying? The more you get excited, the more it's gonna get more exciting around here. Let me tell you something. Watch this. When you're excited about Jesus, someone else is going to be too. If you're not excited about Jesus, if you're not excited about God, nobody else will be either. Excitement begets excitement. Amen. Get excited about God. Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 35:28. It says, "And my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise." When? All day long. Psalm 35:28. It did not say, "And my tongue shall grumble and complain all day long." No, it says, "My tongue will speak of your righteousness and of your praise all day long." Thank you, Jesus. Focus on God. Focus on the good things of God, because God is a God of greatness and power and love. Can you say amen? Number two, crazy praise makes our enemy flee. Now watch this. In 2 Timothy 20:22, Jehoshaphat is faced with the greatest challenge of his life. The enemy is attacking from all sides and his defeat is imminent. But watch this. 2 Chronicles 20:22 says this. "As they began to sing in praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated." Glory to God. Now notice what got God's attention because of their singing and their praise. 2 Chronicles 20:18 and 19 says this, "Jehoshaphat bowed his face to the ground, and all the people in Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped the Lord before the Lord God Almighty. Then some stood up and praised the Lord," how? "With a very loud voice." Now, when did they do that? They're praising him. They're glorifying him. Praise God. What did they do? They praised him with some insane, radical, crazy praise, and God gave them the victory. Are you getting this? Hallelujah. God will not, listen to me, God will not hold back his blessing to those who praise him. The first trick of the enemy is to get you to stop praising God. Listen to me, church. If you stop praising the Lord, your defeat is on the way. But the more you praise him, the more you glorify God, you stay up, you stay fresh, you stay on fire. Praise God. Number three, crazy praise paves the way for God's power, miracles, and revival. Praise God. I've already touched on it very briefly, but let me touch on it again. What happened in the upper room? They were praising. They were praying to God. And suddenly, the sound of a blowing wind rushed into the entire room and filled all of those present, praise God, and they were filled with the power of God. What happened in prison in Acts 16:25-26? And about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And other prisoners were listening to them as well. Suddenly, everybody say suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains fell loose. Praise God. Because somebody began to praise him. Somebody began to glorify him. What got God's attention? Now, if anybody would have had a right to grumble and complain, it would have been Paul. Here he was. He's been beaten three times. He was left for dead. They spit on him. They ridiculed him. Now he's in prison. He's locked up in the deepest, darkest parts of the prison, there to live in his own sewage for who knows how long. And he's standing there, and somebody had the audacity to start singing a hymn and praising God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And that got God's attention. Praise God. And when God begins to hear you praise, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your financial situation might be, no matter what your physical condition might be, listen, this little lady in El Salvador, let me tell you something. She came every service. Amen. Had to be assisted into the building every service, but she kept coming. She kept coming. She pressed in and would not quit. She kept praising God, and God gave her her miracle because she just would not give up. Amen. Let me tell you something. Don't stop. Don't stop. You might be right on the very brink of a miracle. You might be right on the very edge of great things happening in your life. But the enemy tries to come in and like a lion and discourage and to defeat and get you down. Oh, I don't feel good. Let me tell you something. We could all find something to complain about. But you got to push that aside and say, I am not going to complain. I'm not going to grumble. I'm not going to gripe. I'm going to give God some crazy praise, and I'm going to move forward anyway. Amen. Sometimes you just got to take yourself by the shirt collar and say, come on, let's go pray. Let's just go pray. I can't begin to tell you how many times that we had in our house. Let me tell you something. In our house, it's very common to hear us pray in Holy Ghost tongues. Come on. I mean, we prayed over our sons. Our sons being good was not an accident. We prayed for them over and over and over again, pleading for the blood of Jesus over their life to protect them from the dangers of hell, from the dangers of earth, that God would keep them safe, that he would use these men in a mighty way, and God is using them, praise God. We molded their lives. We made going to church fun. We did not say, we got to go to church. We got to go to church, and you better act right, blah, blah, blah. We made church fun. And so there they grew up thinking, hey, we love going to church. I mean, our kids love going to church. Amen. Our oldest son and his family, they live in the Louisville, Kentucky area. Our youngest son, they live in Ozark. They go to John Lindell's church, James River, and they love going to church. They love it. Amen. Because we made it exciting for them. And if you're not excited about it, nobody else will be either. Amen. Nobody else will be either. So I'm saying this. Let's get excited about Jesus. It's time for God's people to get excited about God. Hallelujah. Raise up some crazy praise. Raise up some radical praise. Amen. Because I truly believe that God is going to do some shaking and some baking in 2022. Come on, somebody. Listen, church, it's a matter of choice. God made us creatures of choice. Amen. And you can choose a life of selfishness, depression, sickness. You know, and I've seen over the years in ministry that there's some people that if they're not sick, they're just not happy. Come on, they want to be sick all the time. You know, you can choose that if you want to, or you can choose death and sickness, but no, not me. Come on, I want to choose happiness. I want to choose power. I want to choose blessing. I want to choose victory. Praise God. I choose to be in good health. I choose to be happy. I choose a prosperous life. Praise God. Come on, somebody. Somebody said to me one time, Brother Carter, how do you keep your weight down? I said, well, it's very simple. Lay the fork down. Come on, somebody. I got a word for you. You want to lose weight? Quit eating so much. Come on now. Quit eating so much junk food and you'll lose weight. That's just a fact. Come on, somebody. You'll stay fit. Get up and move. If you don't move it, you're going to lose it. Come on, somebody. Crazy praise. That's what I'm talking about, getting excited for God, getting excited for the things of God, getting excited about church. Amen. Praise God, I get to go to church. Hallelujah. Not only Saturday, but I get to go to church to get on Sunday. Come on, somebody. Praise God. It's time for God's people to get excited about God. Everybody standing, please, all over the building. Everybody standing. Hold that, if you will, please, for just a little bit later. What I want you to do right now, folks, I want to give you some instructions. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith with me. I want you to do something that maybe you're not accustomed to doing. I want you to step out and come to these altars. And I don't want you to stand. I don't want you to kneel. I want everybody standing all across this altar area. Praise God. On the count of three, I want you to come. Everybody come. One, two, three. Everybody come right now. Come on up. Maybe you're not in the habit of doing it, but come anyway. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, what I want you to do, folks, is this. Here's what I want you to do. Don't focus on me. Don't focus on your neighbor. But focus on God. Focus on God now. This is a time to give God some wonderful, heartfelt, glorious praise. But before we get started, I'm going to tell you something. One time I was in revival services, and I was trying my best to get a breakthrough, and nothing was moving, nothing was happening. And I asked God, I said, Lord, I said, why doesn't your people praise you? Now listen to me. Why doesn't your people praise you? And God said to me, well, my people do. My people do. So if you really love God, if God's done anything for you at all, right where you're standing, lift up both hands and give God some praise. Come on. Come on, don't be afraid. Jesus, we exalt your name, Lord.
Continue to soak in his presence. You know, he's wonderful. He only does good things. Lord, we love your presence. Lord, we believe by faith what our brother shared tonight, that when we lift up our praise, you come down. You inhabit our praises. And so, Lord, that is super exciting because you're the one, the very one that we need. And all we need to do is approach you with praise. What a joy. What a joy to be in your presence. Because, God, your presence, in your presence is fullness of joy. might have specific needs, but you're the very one, that very thing that we need, and it's you. We just worship. We praise.
Oh, what a Savior. Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord. Father's arms are open.
Thank you. We worship. And Lord, I'm excited because in the cross and the veil that was torn, we once again see your invitation into your presence. And you provided the very way for us to come through the blood of Jesus. And Lord, because of that alone, we could praise you from now to the end of eternity. So, Lord, let us, and forgive us for failing on it, but help us to join the party with the angels,
Hallelujah.
Giving you praise and glory.
Yes,
from,
Lord.
Let us start right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Giving you praise because you alone are worthy. No one else is worthy of our praise. All others are fakes, but you alone, God, are real. We trust in you. Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing in our hearts tonight. So God, I pray that your presence will be here in the morning in such a real way that people that maybe even weren't here tonight will come in and say, whoa, something's going on here.
Hallelujah.
Because of your might, because of your power, and because of your will to impact the lives of your people. And to impact the lives of the lost. Lord, give us Warsaw. In Jesus' name, let us see mighty things take place in this, in our services, but Lord, outside of this building as well, when we're having conversations with others, praying for them, you show up, God. We love you. We praise you. We're delighted to be yours. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Okay, can you praise him one last time real loud with me? Thank you, Lord. Praise you. You're worthy and you're wonderful. Amen. I suspect that hearts are kind of light at this point in the service. That's what this presence will do. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. My burden is light. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. Well, thank you, Brother Terry. Good word tonight. And the Lord is good. I'm excited. Hey, don't be late in the morning. And don't come expecting somebody else to prime you. You come primed and ready in the morning, okay?
I still need to share.
Yeah. so glad you came tonight to praise the Lord with us. I think, brother, that's a good thing for us to do, to be filling the pot, if you will, with praise. You know, and that's we're just preparing the way, and that's exciting, isn't it? And I shared this last Sunday, and I don't. It hasn't really waned. There is a stirring, and you let me know when you feel the stir. When you feel the Lord stirring you, and that'll just be a confirmation to me. But He's doing stuff. It's exciting, and I want to be a part of it. How about you? There's people who are lost and going, dying and going to hell. And the church exists so people's lives will be transformed. God, I think God wants to show, flex His muscle and show who He is. And say, hey, I'm God and nobody else is. All these other things that you rely on, they don't do. It's me. Right? And this excites my heart because He wants to use His church and He's going to. It just depends on whether we're going to be with Him or not. Right? So, have a great evening. Get you some rest. Rest your voice because you're going to need to praise Him some more tomorrow. Okay? All right. Praise the Lord.